Speak to us, your living word, our gracious God, and help us not only to be speakers and hearers of your word, but to be doers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The season of Lent is here with us again. It's about taking time to stop, look, and listen. It is a season of prayer where we take a fresh look at our own lives as we await the celebration of Easter. This morning, we are beginning a series on what is traditionally called the seven words of the cross. Often the last things a dying person says are important to those who love him or her. And so we pay attention, and some people might ask, did he say anything or did she say a word? And for some people, even without saying a word, they look. The gesticulation means a lot. We remember and think about all this. A person's closing comments often reveal their pain, agony, as well as their values, priorities, and innermost thoughts. For my dad, we saw his diary after he had passed on. And in the diary, he had written until almost his last moment, and he had left some words which we take very close to our hearts. Some of them we read after the funeral when we met as a family to remind ourselves of his wishes. These weighty words from Jesus' lips serve as a window to help us understand Christ, the cross, and the exclamation point of Easter better. These words teach the rich doctrines of Christianity, including forgiveness, faith, family, the humanity of Christ and his death, the fulfillment of Scripture, the justification of the believer, and the certainty of eternity. And so that is really what we're going to be focusing on in the coming weeks. Following the Last Supper, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He poured out his distress to the Father as he went through a deep spiritual struggle. Following that, Jesus was arrested and faced a trial. He was led away with his hands bound, the same hands that had healed many, the same hands that had healed a lot of people. His hands were bound together. Luke chapter 22, verse 63 says that Jesus was blindfolded and beaten while the soldiers mocked him. In an attempt to appease the people, Pilate has Jesus scourged. These whips had a small piece of metal attached to the end and would mark and gouge out pieces of bone and tissue. A crown of 6 inches long tongue was then placed deeply into his scalp. The mockery continues by the soldiers as they spit on him and beat him with reeds and hail him as King of the Jews. Pilate then presents Jesus to the crowd wearing his tongs and robe and says, "Here is the man." Jesus is giving the crossbeam to bear to the place of the skull, Golgotha. Thankfully, someone, Simon of Cyrene, is enlisted to help carry this piece of silver timber that could weigh up to 100 pounds. At the place called the skull, there they crucify him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. This was to signify that of the three, Jesus was the worthiest of death. In fact, what happened at Golgotha was unforgivable. It was unimaginable. It was completely unacceptable. They had crucified the Son of God. It was very common for those who were crucified to utter words of anger towards those who were involved in the execution. Rather, as recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and as Graham read to us, Jesus uttered words of grace, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He didn't curse them. He didn't abuse them in return. But he said, "Father, Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This first last word of Jesus reveals the triumph of divine love. Jesus requested forgiveness for the unforgivable. When a man or when men had done their worst, when the violence of the human heart was displayed, when the creation executed the creator, divine love triumphed. Could I remind us this morning that no one is beyond the reach of God's forgiveness? Some of us may think we've done something so bad that we can never be forgiven, that we somehow don't even deserve the forgiveness and the healing of Jesus. But the good story, the good news for us today, is that Jesus has paid the price and a path has been set out for our forgiveness. Beyond this question about whether we are worthy enough to receive God's forgiveness is the question of whether we have forgiven others. Is there someone in your life now or in the past who has grieved you and against whom you hold bitterness? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 36 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." In order to forgive, we must remember our forgiveness. I am not suggesting that it is easy to forgive. To forgive us cost Jesus his life. It cost him his place. It cost him his honor. He was ridiculed. He was spit upon. He was made to face the worst of death. To forgive others will as well cost us something. We will have to forgive. We will have to give up our anger, turn away from our bitterness, release the right to revenge, and decide by a conscious decision that we'll forgive those who have sinned against us. As we come to the Lord's table today, may we lean on the one who walked to the cross and died in our place. May we lean on him for grace to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovable, to touch the untouchables. There is strength in the name of Jesus. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, may we come with the assurance that there's healing in the name of Jesus. We stay here. We come together as a family representing the wider family of St. John's and the wider family of the churches around the world. We stand in solidarity. Let us come with the assurance that there's forgiveness. Amen.